The Lord is good. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
If you know that God is good to you, give me an amen.
Amen.
If you know that the word of God is lifting you up, say another amen.
Amen.
I want us to do something. Can we just quickly rise to our feet? Let us commence today. We're going to be standing for a long time. If you're tired, you can sit down. But let us just begin the word of God. Let me start out today by saying that there's something we often forget to do, and I just want to encourage every Christian, every believer, never to forget it. When you wake up in the morning, all right, wet your day. What did I say? Wet your day. There's a saying in the western part of Nigeria. They say that if you want to step on cool ground, you pour water ahead of you. Do you understand? If you want your ground to be cool, you sprinkle water into the places where you want to step upon. Remember what I said earlier? Prayer is not, we are asking God to do that which he does not want to do. Even though it appears, if you read the scriptures, it might appear as if God was actually going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. He said, let him just stop by and let somebody, he said, let him just stop by. And then Abraham now tried to persuade him so that he wouldn't destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. The truth is that that was not really the way it was. You understand? What God ended up proving to us through Abraham was to let us know that Sodom and Gomorrah was not salvageable, and that was why he refused to salvage it. And you will see when God said that, I sought for a man to stand between me, all right, and this land as an intercessor so that I will not pour my wrath upon it. What does that tell you? He did not want to do it. I don't know whether you got what I'm saying there. He didn't want to destroy. Do you understand my point? He didn't want to. But because the way the events of this earth had progressed, and as a judge of the earth, he had to do what was necessary. That was why he looked for somebody to tell him not to do what actually he would rather not do, but which judgment determined, all right, that he must do it. So let me say it again. What we are doing when we are praying is to just simply, now notice that, tell God, do that which you actually want to do. Not, you know, I've been begging you on this matter for the last 6 weeks. When are you going to change your mind? Do you understand? God really doesn't change his mind like that. That's the way it is. Why am I emphasizing that again? So that we'll remember. I was saying at the beginning, every morning when you wake up, declare upon the day what God wants to do concerning that day. You say, how do I know God wants me to go to Maiduguri that day? Don't worry about the specifics. Christians worry too much about specifics. If God didn't declare specifics, don't bother declaring specifics. You understand? If he says that this is the day the Lord has made, I will rejoice and be glad in it. That's good enough. Don't say, today, I'll hear that seven of my cousins had children. You understand my point? If that's what will make you glad, God knows how to arrange it. Are you getting my point? What to just do that morning is just simply declare, this day, I will be glad in the name of Jesus. I will rejoice. You understand what I'm saying? That's why you say, God will show me favor today. Declare, God will, that's what you just do. You wake up in the morning, as I go out, the angels of God, they are watching over me. No evil will befall me. No plague will come near my dwelling place. I declare in the name of Jesus that the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Lack is not my portion today. Doors will open for me, doors of blessing. I will not only be blessed today, I will have opportunities to be a blessing to somebody. It's very important you declare that also. Not only will you be blessed, but you are going to have opportunities that day to be a blessing to somebody. Today I will walk in righteousness. Today I am delivered from all evil. I will not be led into temptation, but I will have the power to overcome every evil. I will not do evil today in the name of Jesus. I have the strength to overcome every temptation. Lack is not my portion. All the plagues that are running up and down, none of them is my portion. Look, you are just, I make it a habit. Are you getting my point? Make it a habit, make it a habit. When they tell you, how are you? You understand? The normal English word is fine. Let your own fine be a fine that comes from the bottom of your heart because you believe that is what the word of God is saying. Somebody greets you, how are you? Stop saying fine, you understand? Just say things like, I am well. Are you getting my point? Now, nothing wrong with fine, nothing wrong with I am fine, but you are trying to change your brain, all right, from that reflex talking into something that you created out of revelation. So if you say, how are you? Say, it is well with me. How are you? I am well. What? How are you? God is good. How are you? Favor is following me. How are you? Are you getting my point? create something. You know, many years ago, no, not so many years ago, maybe someone last year or 2 years ago, if you greet me or I'm greeting you, I always tell you it is well with you. Yes, you know, because I know, in quotes, now all of us are priests of God, all right? But I know my words are powerful as a servant of God, as a priest of God, you understand? So if I'm greeting somebody, I tell you it is well with you. It's not a greeting, it's a prophetic word. I'm warning you that it's going to be well with you. You get to my point? Yeah, that's what I do. That's what I do. Look, just check it. Unless I haven't greeted in the last 1 year or 2 years, my greeting is, it is well with you. I know there are some of our brethren, the way they answer is, amen. It's not thank you, sir. If I greet Kingsley and tell him, it is well with you, he will leave whatever he's saying and pause and say, amen. If I tell him 10 times in a day, he will tell you, amen, amen, amen. It's not like, thank you, sir. It's not a greeting. It's a prophetic word. It's a prophetic word. It's my job, all right, to prophesy the blessings of God upon the people of God. And that's why I make it a habit. If you greet me on the way, I will tell you it is well with you. All right? So you receive it according to your faith. I remember once, Bishop Odeku, I went to Winners Chapel. This is in Lagos, Breakthrough Seminar. And one young man came one day, said, me having this mental block, something like that. His head was always under tension. He was seriously afflicted, not a joke. So he wanted Bishop to pray for him. And then you may as well try to get an American visa. And you guys, I don't know whether you get one of these. I mean, you can imagine the multitude. How do you find him? You know what the young man did? He went and stood near the door where Bishop Oyedepo was going to pass. So as the man was just walking into church, so he was standing there. So out of just courtesy, the man just said, how are you? Something like that. And the young man looked and said, I'm fine. And instantly he was healed. They came to give the testimony. Not somebody said what happened to somebody somewhere one day when they were not there and then they told the story later. No. He said, the man just looked in the direction and said, how are you? And he looked at him back and said, I am fine. And instantly he felt something snap away from his head. All the demons ran away. They disappeared. You're getting my point? Listen, these words are very powerful. Are you getting my point? Your mouth is very powerful. Don't use it recklessly. Don't use it recklessly. What did I say? Don't use it recklessly. I wake up in the morning. Why did they put my shoes now? This house, they will never leave my shoes where I keep them. What is wrong with them? Can I just leave these shoes? This shoe, what is this shoe doing to them now? I don't know. God save me from these people that are carrying away my shoes. 5 minutes in the morning, quarreling over your shoes. Shoes, 5 minutes in the morning. If the shoe worries you so much, tell the shoe, this shoe, stop living where I keep you. I mean, it sounds funny, but these words are very prophetic. You know shoes here? Shoes here? In fact, everything here is. One thing I know is trees here. Trees, they hear. Your pocket hears. Your body hears. It's not only your ears that hear. In fact, your ear hears its own hearing before it transmits to the rest of the body. You don't have to have ears to hear. You know what I mean? Physical ears. That's why, how do I know that Jesus went to a tree? So any fruits there? Nothing. So nobody will eat from here again. And the tree just quickly died by itself. The tree talked to itself. Say, boys, let's just die. Let's just die. Let's just... let's just die. Why? It heard the word. Are you getting my point? Your car hears you. Your car hears. You tell the car, listen, you are a blessing, you are not a curse. The blessing of God makes rich and doesn't add sorrows. At least one man of God once said, "Size kind of money." And his neighbor said, that engine is giving a knocking sign. So he got quiet, he told the man, he didn't answer the man. He came down, laid a hand on the engine, and warned the knocking sound to disappear. The neighbor's engine knocked the next day. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. That is look, things here. No, that thing is not a joke. This spirit is a prowl around looking for whom they might devour. That's what the Bible says. You resist him how? Steadfast in your faith. He comes telling you stories. When you drive it away, Jesus said that when you drive out an evil spirit, it goes to many places. You go walking through dry places looking for what? for rest. If it's an engine knocking spirit, if you can't knock your engine, it knocks your neighbor's own. Unless he knows how to resist, steadfast in faith. So what you do as a habit is what? Resist. As a habit, do what?
Resist.
As a habit, do what?
Resist.
Don't be diagnosing problems or you're having a headache. Start giving you diagnosis. If you have a friend as a doctor, don't tell him your problems. And tell somebody who doesn't know anything more than come to church. So the doctor will tell you what is peradventure wrong with you, 17 differential diagnoses. Tell somebody that only goes to church. That one is better. I've been having a headache for some time. Let me pray with you. You know, the first thing the doctor does, when did it start? It's on one side of which side of the head? Does it move from here to there? What improves it and what worsens it? What time of the day do you, you know, that's how they were taught in school. Trying to give a name to your headache. When you finish it, this headache fits the demon of migraine. And many people say, by saying that they say, amen. The demon say, thank you. I was thinking you guys would chase me away. Thank you. So should I prescribe a medicine for you? So when you see a doctor coming with your headache, just leave the guy alone. Hey, doctor, say, how are you doing? I'm fine. move. It is well. When somebody goes to church, say, hey, brother, I better come. Listen, this is my head there. It needs attention. And two of you, we join hands and do what? And pray. When I talk like this, people say, are you sure you're a doctor? Believe me, I'm one. And it's the reason why I talk like this. They tell you, don't eat sugar. The Lord is good. Last night I went for my convention. We were eating breakfast. So somebody said, oh, no, don't put sugar in. You know, like, I don't want sugar. I want just one cube. So I took the second cube of sugar, tossed it into my mouth, and crushed it, and chewed it, and swallowed it. Monkey, what are you doing? I'm proving to you this is good. One of the things I told you some months ago, let me say it again. Don't wake up in the morning and curse your food. Now people curse their food. This is fattening. This causes cancer. This has cholesterol. This one is this. This one. By the time they finish, no food is edible. My friend who was here last time, that's last Tuesday, he said something. He said his sister, she lives in the U.S., that she went into this diet thing so much at a time the children became anemic. Eat red meat, it's bad for you. White meat, okay, maybe it's good for you. Eat this one, it was not grown in an organic fashion. And these so-called organic foods, they are so expensive if you live in the U.S. Normal egg, Phoebe, I've forgotten the price, but I don't know, one crate of egg, I can't remember, but let's assume that's an example. A crate of eggs in the U.S. as an example, I'm not very certain. Assume it's $5. If you are to buy organic eggs, it would be like $20. So the little money you do not have, you need to start pursuing things you cannot afford. Why? You want to live long. You have enough food to live long, but too little money to live long. I don't know whether you get the point. What should I do? You are asking me. Simple. Eat what is said before you without asking questions. If God gives you $5, say, I'm not buying no organic egg. Enter a shop. I have more resistance than the unbelievers. All of them are eating the inorganic eggs and they are not dead. I will live much longer than them because the Spirit of Christ is in me. He said, are you not tempting the Lord thy God? No, I am obeying the Lord my God. Because people who are believing, they don't know what they are saying to. So stop cursing your food. Bless it when you receive it. If I like one thing also, Smith Wigglesworth said, he said, once you give him food, and I learned that even before I heard it from him. Once you give him food, he will never complain. You know why? Because once he went somewhere, you know, like to visit. So they served food and they began to eat. And his host was trying to make excuse for maybe, oh, sorry, Brother Smith, maybe the salt is not enough. The man said, stop. We have given thanks for this food. We can't complain. The one to say, you like more salt? The man said, I don't want anything. Leave this food. Once I say, Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus, I'm eating it without, as if there's stone inside. The stone was meant to cleanse my intestine. The man will eat the stone. It sounds extreme, but I pray you will understand life like this. Believe me, to change the taste of food in your mouth. And that's not supposed to be a joke. I mean it. It will change the taste of food in your mouth. So stop cursing your food. What do you do to your food? You bless it. Literally bless the food. How do you bless the food? With thanksgiving. Derek Prince said something. It struck me when I was listening to it. He said, you notice that Jesus never prayed to multiply food. He prayed for the sick. He shouted for Lazarus. When they came for food, he just gave thanks. And the food met the need of everybody present. He did not say, this food I hereby command you. You know I am the Son of God. Don't try me. He didn't do that. He just took the food and did what? He gave thanks. And the food said, oh boy, they don't thank God for us. So we better behave ourselves. You need more food? Take. You need more food? Take. You need more food? Take. The food refused to finish. And this, there are modern day testimonies about that. There's one man I've got to talk about before. He gave a testimony when I was listening to him. He said there was a time, you know, they were having a lot of guests in the house. You understand? People were coming to the house. It was the days of, you know, SAP, things were rough. He was, you know, he didn't have much money and all of that. And then he had a bag of rice in the house. And they kept on taking from that bag of rice, and the rice wouldn't finish. They kept, that is, the rice lasted so long, then one day the wife said, you this bag of rice, won't you finish? That day, it finished. The rice had ears. We were all the, I believe it will happen. All the while, they were just thanking God. Father, we thank you. And all the people who are coming to our home, we thank you that we have something to give them. As they were saying it, the rice was rearranging. They said, Lord, we thank you. The rice will rearrange. More people will come. The rice will rearrange. Then one day, the woman looked and said, this rice, which kind of abami rice is this one? If you speak, you know what I'm going to say. Literally means, which kind of strange rice is this? The woman, she said, won't you finish the rice? Okay, sorry, ma. Finished that day. Listen, learn to give thanks. Stop cursing your food. Egg is good for you, amen?
Amen.
All you need to do to make sure it's good for you, just thank God. When they bring the egg, say, Lord, I thank you for this egg. I am eating it into long life and prosperity. In the name of Jesus, eat it. They give you sugar, thank God for it, eat it. Hey, what I want to say sounds funny. If you understand the revelation of this, you eat food and lose weight. That if that's what's good for you, no, believe me, I know what I'm saying. And I don't mean that as a joke. You can choke on vegetables, you say grow fatter. What I'm telling you is not a joke. You must learn to address your food with the word of God. This food has been given to me to be a blessing. The blessing of God makes rich and does not add cancer with it. It does not add high blood pressure. It does not add high cholesterol. If the cholesterol is high, it's good for me. I need it. That's not a joke. I mean it. You have to love and respect God more than you respect all these confused scientists and doctors. Changing their minds every 10 years. That's what they do. If you follow it enough, I told you that they say every man after the age of 50, you should be checking your PSA to check whether your prostate is good or bad every year. 3 years ago, they said it is nothing better than the toss of a coin. The man who invented the test said it has been the most colossal waste of public funds ever. He invented the test. After watching it for decades, he said this thing is a waste of time. That you will do as well if you just go to the doctor. They say, okay, give me a coin. Tumbon, tumbon, do you have cancer? The blood say you get. Tumbon, tumbon, you not get. You know, just toss it up and down. The man says, simply, just live your life. If you have problems, come and see the doctor. Until then, oh boy, keep on trucking. And this was after years of telling us, if you don't do it, you're dead. If you don't do it, you're dead. They say, go for mammography, check your breast. So after a long time, you know what they said? They have found out that the death rate from breast cancer did not drop one bit. They now reverse and say, well, it looks like that thing is not working. You know what they now said? It appears as if we catch things too early. We now catch things that are so early that they are not planning to be cancer. They only look like it. You say, Pastor Mark, I'm getting confused. That is the idea. You should be confused because they don't know. And I'm talking to you authoritatively. In case you don't know, I'm a pathologist. That's my job. You know why many people fall in that direction? They have no option. If you don't have God, what else will you do? You just, the little God where you get, maybe it can help you more than your ignorant self. But if you have God, and that's my message today, when you wake up in the morning, bless yourself. Bless yourself. They say from the age of 50, go for a prostate test. From the age of 50, from the age of 40, add prophetic word for your prostate. It's good. When everybody's going for mammography, say, how long is mammography? They say maybe it's 30 minutes. I say, good. 30 minutes, the word of God for my breast. Not vexed. I want to sound vulgar. You go come out clots in front of a mirror. Say, you. In Jesus' name, I'm giving you mammography. And I'm not joking. I'm not joking. Ken Hagin will tell you that there was a time his wife had two lumps in the breast. They cast it. One died. The other one grew. The day they dedicated themselves to following God fully for their lives, next day it vanished. Think I'm kidding? I'm not joking about it. You wake up in the morning, talk to yourself. Talk to, they said, today, yesterday I was telling my students something. I was giving a lecture. I said, yeah, I've forgotten. They had to say old age. I said, forget it. I said, the only reason why I've forgotten is that there's so many things to remember. I said, age is only allowed to do one thing to me, make me wise. The multitude of years will add to me wisdom. It will not make me sick. Listen, if I have to go climb this kind of stairs by the time I'm 90, my plan is to run up it. It's a plan. He said, how are you going to walk towards it? I've been telling myself ahead of time. Oh boy, at the age of 90, you will run upstairs. You will run upstairs. I'm telling myself now. Are you getting my point? I'm telling myself now. We are discussing it with ourselves. You know me, my body, my head, we are talking now. Oh boy, by then you are 90, they must think you are 60 or 52. So that man is 90. Who? That one, 90? Are you sure? Yes, that's Pastor Banky. I have known him for 50 years. And that you are the one talking. He said, he can't be 52 because I've been hearing him preach for 50 years. Do two-year-old boys preach? How do we accomplish that? We start telling it now. We start discussing it now. What is my word to you today? When you wake up every morning, talk to yourself. Before you book appointment, oh God, people worship doctors. We have to start worshiping the Lord our God. To worship doesn't mean to just wave your hand and say, Lord, we worship you. You know what I'm saying? It's like giving me food. I say, Pastor Banky, I feed you. Bring the food, may I eat? Which one say, don't worry, I'm feeding you. What is this? Do you understand my point? Lord, we worship you is good, but we have to worship him. Not just tell him we worship him. I don't know whether you're getting what I'm explaining. What do I mean by that? Make an appointment to see him the way you make an appointment to see the doctor. That is worship. You wake up every morning. You have an appointment. What are you doing? Honey, are you not going out yet? I'm seeing my doctor. Are you getting my point? Let's take his medicine. All right, good. You wake up in the morning. Medicine for your head. All right. With long life, I will satisfy you. And show you my salvation. Swallow it. Amen. Mercy for your bones. I tell you that you will be old and full of sap. Swallow it. Where's the cream that the doctor gave us? You rub it all over your body. By his stripes, I have been healed. By his stripes, I have been healed. In the name of Jesus, by his stripes, I have been healed. You know, some of you have to understand why you do it. Not as if it's a routine, you know. Not as if you are trying to follow something. Look, take a cup of water. You know, there's what I think was Geneva Van Zinius, one of those men used to call faith extenders. You know what the faith extender? Something you do just to help, just to encourage your faith. You understand my point? Like now, you could say that and say, I want to take my medicine. You bring out a cup of water. You keep the water there. Bring out your Bible and be prophesying the word into that water. Are you getting my point? You prophesy. I tell you this water. Receive the word of God. You do it. By the time you do it, when you finish, you take it and drink it. That drinking is a faith extender. So this water is entering my body. You are going in with the Spirit of God, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. You give life to my mortal body. That's Christianity. That's how to worship God. Not just to tell him, I worship you. But what you are saying, I don't know. I mean, how would your wife or your husband tell you, I love you, I love you? Every time you are talking, they are not listening. They turn around and say, I just want to tell you, I love you. What kind of love is that? If you hate me, will you do more than the one you are doing now? In the same manner, if we are worshiping God, it's not just to say we wave our hands, Lord, we worship you. We worship you, but we believe the doctors who don't believe you. Lord, we worship you. We spend our money the way our villagers say. We don't say the way you say. Lord, we worship you. We worry about tomorrow like every unbeliever, but we worship you. God, we say, please. I'd rather you didn't worship me. So at least you either be cold or hot. This is your lukewarmness in which you claim you worship, but I can't see any act of worship. Worship is not just to wave hands and say, yeah, let's sing it. No, come to church. This is the day. Say, let us sing it. Let's now worship the Lord. This is the day. Like one of my friends said, do you want a revolution? Do you? He says worship. Why? Because it is slow. You're singing a crackling. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. It's not just the song. The thing we say we are doing, let us do it in reality. That's what I'm saying. If we are worshiping God, let's worship him. We listen to what he's saying and we apply his word all the time. Are you getting my point? Listen, God has a report about your life. Remember what I said by saying that prayer is to let God do what he wants to do. That's what it is. Don't ever leave your house in the morning. Don't be in a hurry. Alright? If you're supposed to wake up by 6 because you're in a hurry, wake up at 5:15 or 5:45, I want you to say, take the first 15 minutes and bless the day. Tell the day some things. So if you don't know what to say, tell the day, a child of God has woken up and is coming into today with the spirit and the power of God. She's not coming out alone, no. Angels are with her. All troublemakers, beware. I am not alone. The angels of God are riding with me. If I ride into Sambisa Forest, oh boys, move back. If you don't move back, now you go damage, not me. Do you get my point? Top 30, say, this road is dangerous. There are words you should not use. Use them for unbelievers. If you're on that road, say, the road is dangerous. Say, not for me. I am more dangerous than the road. Tell it. You say, I don't feel like this. Who cares how you feel? Who's telling you? Who cares how you feel? Have I told you anything about how I feel now? I'm just telling you what is written. He said, the road is dangerous. Tell the road, I am more dangerous than you. Are you getting my point? Yes, the angels walking with me, they are more dangerous than you. I remember those days when I first came to Enugu, we wanted to buy a car. So, I said I want to buy what we call a V-boot, you know, Mercedes-Benz. Somebody said, thieves like it. I said, I like it too. Make two of us. I said, I like it too. That time when we all over in Enugu, I said, you will not drive me away from this town. God sent me to this town. I will drive you the criminal away. Yeah, no. Do I know them? No. Not just prophetic word. In Jesus' name, I'm the one that will be established. The wicked will not be established. Thus says the Lord. The wicked will not be established. God said, look at his place. Soon you won't find him there anymore. So I declare the word into the air, you will not be established. I will be established. I will dwell safely in the land. In the name of Jesus Christ. As you are declaring that those words are going out. They are going out. Now what shall we do? This place is so dangerous. Where do we go? Let's go to Switzerland. I'm not the devil. I've not run to and fro. I will drive you out. You get my point? Yes, that's the word of God. Hey, are you sure you feel like this? Believe me, I don't always feel like that. Whether I feel like it or not, I will declare it. No, that's how it is. Let me give an example. I've been married for a very long time. Many of you know, all of you here know. And if I tell you that my wife is always a good woman, that I'm always feeling like I'm loving her every time, I'm just telling you lies. But you know the interesting part? One of the things I have learned, even as I was alone, I would say, look, I still love my wife in the name of Jesus. I'm very angry with her, but I love my wife in Jesus' name. It's a behavior I don't like it, but I love. I'm not kidding. The devil has never been able to mistakenly, by chance, peradventure, in the midst of my drinking, drunken sleep, in which I sniffed cocaine inside the dream, and I fell into another dream, and I used heroin inside that other one. Has never convinced me one day to regret marrying my wife. It has never happened. It will not happen. So I'm not talking about how you feel. It is what is written. You are getting my point? Yeah, we walk by saying what God has joined together, let no vexation put us under. You're getting what I'm not explaining. No, that's just the way it is. So how we feel is secondary to what is right, what is true. We declare what is true, and what is true will eventually take over how you feel. That's what I'm saying. So in the morning, as broke as you feel, as broke as you feel, declare upon the day, a blessed man, a blessed woman has woken up. Today I will be a blessing. Listen, you know, people don't know how to sow seed, though. All these jaguda seeds we sow in church. Seeds of poverty, you know what I'm saying? Seeds of lack. People who are poor and hungry. That is, they are saying, Lord, you know I'm poor and hungry. Give me food. I'm giving you this money so that you will remember me. That's not Christianity. What did I say? What did I say? Let me tell you the real seed. The seed, the Bible says, is what? The word of God. So how do I sow a seed for prosperity? I declare that word. And when I'm giving, that's how I give. But I thank you for the opportunity to be a blessing. You said I'm a blessing. I'm not sowing anything so that you give me back. I'm dropping that one because I'm blessed. It's out of the abundance. Say, but you don't have plenty. Sufficient unto the day is that little that I have. And out of it, I'm blessing other people also. So you wake up in the morning, just say, hey, in Jesus' name, I will sow a seed today, I will reap a harvest. You know, Christians say, that's an Islamic principle. It's a law of karma. No, for Christians, no. As I wake up today, as I go about today, I declare that Jesus has paid for my prosperity. I'm a prosperous man, I'm a prosperous woman. A blessed person has woken up today. And as I'm going out today, I will express my blessing. Listen, God will, listen, it may be a smile you will give somebody, it will change the person's life. And that's not a joke. Something happened the other day, I went to work. And these are the things Christians do. We are blessed, all right? If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
You know, Jesus said, look, my peace I give unto you. And he now told them at the time, he said, when you get to that, say, peace be upon this home. Peace is tangible. You know, if we learn the physics and the spiritual side of it, we could convert it by E is equal to MC squared into something. That's how peace is. It's a spiritual thing. It has a physical, tangible, you know, effect. So you have peace with you. Amen?
Amen.
It's there with you.
Amen.
You can use it. Yes, you can use it. And they use it to solve problems. And that day I got to work. I saw one woman walking like this. You can see the way I'm walking. You guess as much. Her stomach was not my size. It was like this. Big like this. So I stopped. I said, madam, you're in labor. Because my department is just down the corridor from the labor ward. And then you go upstairs. That's how I get to my department. So I was heading to my department. So I think she was taking a stroll. You know, they do that so that the baby's head will sink properly. She was walking like this. I stopped. I said, madam, you are in labor. She nodded. I think she just said, no. No. I said, you will deliver safely in Jesus' name. That's peace I give unto you. I didn't just walk past and say, no. What is no? What does it mean? Who knows the real meaning? It means nothing. Thank you. What is sorry? You want sorry? No means what? Nothing, spiritually speaking. I didn't know the woman from Adam. I didn't check on her after. I don't know. If I see her now, I won't recognize her. But I say, wait, I'm a blessed person. So I told her to stop. I said, madam. No, I paused. So she, of course, she paused. I said, you will deliver safely in Jesus' name. And I went my way. You know why? I'm a blessed person. That's my peace I give unto you, Jesus said. So I just gave a beat to that woman. That's it. In life, say, I'm looking for work. I'm looking for who's looking for work. I'm looking for who I will make rich. I don't know whether you're getting my point. Laban said, I have divined, I was talking to Jacob, that I have prospered because of you. I must be, look, anywhere you are working and they are happy to see you go, just know you are not ready for prosperity yet. Get another job. I don't know why he would have said. We are resigning from our office. And I let him go. He has resigned. Accept resignation. Let him go. Let him clear his office. Ah, let me give you advice. Go and look for another job. Unless it's just a matter of persecution for the gospel's sake. You know, persecution for the gospel's sake. If you are, go and ask somebody whether it's persecution for the gospel's sake. No, don't deceive yourself that I'm being persecuted. If you are the one that thinks you are being persecuted, you are confused. You understand my point? I've seen wicked people thinking they are being persecuted. You are not being persecuted. You are enjoying the just recompense of reward. So, apart from the fact, from when it is proper persecution, you understand my point? If you're working the place and you are resigning and people are happy to see you go, you are not ready for prosperity. Go and get another job. Even if it's 6 months. And in that 6 months, work like you want to die. If they say everybody bought at 8, get there at 7:40. If there's everybody close at 5, close at 5:20. If they say lunch is between 1 and 2, your own will be 1:15 to 2:45. If they say quota, deliver, as an example, 100 units of this, you labor to deliver 120. And don't ask for extra pay, don't ask for any extra commendation. Just say, let me bless somebody so much that when I'm going, they say, why are you going? We are not paying you enough. Let's add to it. When you start hearing that, don't come back. Run. Just know, now I am ready. Because the Bible says, if you are not faithful in that which belongs to another person, who will give you your own? God will not. It's a Christian attitude. So you wake up in the morning, today a blessed man, a blessed woman has woken up, and I've been blessed to be a blessing, and I am going to bless somebody today. If you are going to your work, you are going to bless somebody. Are you getting my point? Listen, it is a matter of pride as a Christian for you to know you are working for more than you are being paid. I don't know where I get the point. Yes. If everybody thinks that this your work, it deserves 100 units of pay and you are getting 80, it's good. It is not good for you to be giving 120 when you are only delivering 100. It's to your credit. So look, that's why as a Christian, you have no business grumbling. You go to school, you teach in a secondary school. Let the children be waiting to talk to you. Then you know you are blessed. Are you getting my point? I need to talk to my uncle. You will solve all this problem. The way my dad is doing these days, I'm going to talk to the uncle. Then you know you're in ministry. Not the way you sit in teachers, what do you call that place? Teachers' common room. A staff room. Don't mind the proprietor. Stupid man. Don't mind him. Foolish man. Don't mind the government. Stupid government. Don't mind the government. Just complain morning to night. Look, our poverty has just been given extension notice. You get everybody is there complaining and complaining. Preach to them. Are you getting my point? Not say this old asinet, he shall die. If you use yarring, you will go to hellfire. That is not the kind of message they need. Tell people how they will be blessed. Just, you know what I mean is that? Tell them, say, God, what's going on in this country? Say, let's thank God. Go to Iraq right now. You know you don't want to live there. Yeah. That's enough. And people, look, a lot of people will take correction from you. You know, my wife was saying the story when she went to a supermarket the other day, and one girl was saying that, what should I say it again? I'm a tighter. My life will not be tight. There's lies that Christians tell themselves. You know that kind of thing. Instead, they get say, okay, relax. It's not like that. The only reason why your life will not be tight is because Jesus died to make sure your life is not tight. If you go to God, they get say, thank you, man. Because I'm sure the girl quickly do calculation of all the iniquity she has done in the last month. So this is salvation. Hey, the Lord is good. What have I said? That is, you declare in the morning, I have been blessed to be a blessing. A blessed man, a blessed woman has woken up today. And I'm going now to manifest the blessedness that is inside me. It doesn't matter how I feel. the word of God is what I am declaring, and the Spirit of God will make those things come to pass. So let's begin to declare. Let's just start from there. Say, in the name of Jesus,
in the name of Jesus,
I have been blessed.
I have been blessed.
Every day I wake up,
I wake up,
a blessed person has woken up.
And I'm moving out
to go and bless somebody. That is my mission.
That is my
ministry.
In the name of Jesus
Christ. Now listen, the other day I was at the airport. You know, this is interesting. You know, maybe because I'm a preacher and God gives me insight. I see things. I went to drop a friend of mine in the morning. From there, I was rushing to go and preach somewhere. That was on Saturday. You know, I mentioned it. I don't know why I mentioned it here on Saturday. When I got there, I just saw everybody. No, as I came out from the airport to go to my car. And of course, it was morning. Everybody was going tiki 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 tiki. You know, simple event. So I saw some soldiers. Quack quack quack. I said, "Who are they escorting?" Some old woman, and they were escorting. See policemen escorting some people. See people, everybody running up and everybody. Run. So I said, "What are they all, including me now, running up and down looking for?" Then the scripture just leapt up in my heart. It said, "You know of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power." And he went about. Wait. Everybody's going about looking for money. Everybody's going about looking for connection. People are going about trying to make their future secure. But what happened to Jesus Christ? He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Many are oppressed of ignorance. Many are oppressed of lack of knowledge. They are oppressed of poverty. They are oppressed of all kinds of things. And in your hand is a kind of power to solve one kind of oppression. So God says, when you, as a child of God, wake up, you go about doing good and healing the areas of life that have been oppressed by that thing, by the lack of that thing which you carry. So say it again. Say, in the name of Jesus,
in the name of Jesus,
every day that I wake up,
I go about doing good.
I go about doing good
because I have been anointed.
I go about doing good
because
I have the Holy Spirit,
because
I have the power of God. And I go about doing good,
healing all that are oppressed by the devil,
because God is with me.
Declare it again.
Say, God is with me.
I am not alone.
God is with me.
The very hair on my head, they are numbered.
Not one will be,
not one will fall,
except God approves it.
Therefore, my life is precious.
Say it, my life is precious.
I will not die by accident.
My life is not an accident.
Say it, I'm a woman of purpose.
I'm going somewhere.
I am a blessing.
I go forth to manifest
in the name of Jesus Christ.
Say it, I am not alone.
God is with me.
I am not alone.
His angels, they surround me.
They deliver me from all troubles.
They deliver me from all troubles.
They have been sent forth
to minister for me
because I'm a heir of salvation.
Say, I'm inheriting salvation
in the name of Jesus Christ.
Declare like you believe it. All things have passed away.
Poverty has passed away.
Say, sin has passed away.
Walking out of the will of God has passed away.
Say it, I'm filled with the knowledge of His will.
In all spiritual wisdom and understanding.
I walk in a manner worthy of the Lord.
And I please Him in all respects.
And I increase in the knowledge of God.
Say,
as I go about,
I am doing good.
I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord.
I'm pleasing God in all respects.
And I'm increasing in the knowledge of my God.
Say, I'm an effective minister
of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
The peace of God is with me.
Say, the peace of God is with me.
And I use it to solve problems.
I lay my hands on the sick.
And they recover.
I give a word to the confused.
And he gets direction.
I give a word to the poor,
and he becomes rich,
because I'm a true minister of the gospel of Jesus,
and the peace of God is with me.
I have been blessed.
I am not a poor man, a poor woman,
but I have been blessed
to be a blessing.
Abraham's blessings indeed they are mine.
I have an abundance for every good work.
Because the Spirit of God is with me.
Because the Spirit of God is with me. declared, I am not beneath.
I am above.
By the blood of Jesus Christ, I have been lifted out from beneath and
I have been placed above.
Say it, I am above only
and
I am not beneath. Now declare this,
this country is blessed because of me.
You know, he said, you are the light of the world. That's what it means. He said, you are the salt of the earth. Declare it again.
This nation is blessed.
Because of me.
Say it again.
Because of me.
This nation is blessed.
Therefore, I declare the word of God.
In the name of Jesus.
Blessing upon this nation.
In the name of Jesus.
Prosperity upon this nation.
In the name of Jesus.
Judgment on wickedness. Remember, we said that God pulls down before he lifts up. Listen, that's part of your job. You declare judgment on wickedness. Say it in the name of Jesus.
I declare
the judgment of God
on wickedness
in this land.
In the name of Jesus,
I declare
the judgment of God
on corruption in this nation.
Say in the name of Jesus,
I declare the judgment of God
on every form of inefficiency,
on wastage,
in the name of Jesus.
Say, I declare judgment
over electoral malpractices.
I declare judgment
upon wrong policing.
I declare the judgment of God
upon injustice
in this nation.
Say, I say to the Lord,
ride on prosperously,
ride on victoriously.
Defend truth,
defend meekness,
defend righteousness.
Let your arrow be in the hearts of the people that hate you.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
And I declare prosperity upon the land.
And say this, I will be a first partaker.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
I will be a first partaker.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Say it, I am not a beggar.
And that is very important too.
Let me say to you, when you have to travel abroad, you will travel not because you are begging somebody, but because you are a giver. You hear what I said? You will travel not because you are begging, but because what? You are a giver. When you stand in front of a visa officer, once they look at your visa, they know you are a giver. They hate beggars. Those want to leak from their economy. That's why they are looking at your bank balance to see whether you want to go and collect or you want to go and add. But first of all, forget your bank balance first. You've heard my story before. First time I went to the US, I went with a very low bank balance. Everything put together was not up to $1,000. He said, put money. I said, why? Won't you put money? I said, no, I don't have money to put. This is the money I have. I've told the story many times. The lady looked at me like this. And I looked at her back. I said, what is the problem? There's no money in your account. I said, so. It's a salary account. I don't chop up. At the end of the day, maybe this one part of the story I don't tell often. All right? But I've told you a number of times, but I don't always get there when I repeat the story. When I finish, he said, okay, pick up your visa. He said, so. And I said, listen, please, I came from Enugu. This is Abuja. I can't come back on Tuesday. Can somebody pick it up for me? He said, okay, write the person's name and number here. So I wrote it down. So that was done. And I said, I want to ask you a question. Say what? Why is it that you have been just been denying everybody visas since? I asked the lady. I said, you've just been denying everybody. I said, we've been watching you from where we're sitting down. He said, you guys were talking about me. I said, why won't we talk about you? Everybody comes here. Just reject. I'm serious. I'm not joking about this. Have you just been rejected? He said, you know the truth. He said, they are not genuine. He said, most of them are telling lies. And I asked her a simple question. How do you know I'm not lying? I literally asked, how come you believe that? She just said, well, I just look at you. You just look genuine. She had nothing else to say. Listen, when you go to look for a job, that's what people are perceiving. When you go there looking like, oh God, this job, my father is waiting for it. You won't get it. Forget this one. Then forget this one. Then somebody didn't get started a company to help your father. What's your problem? When I prosper first, then I can give. If it's charity, we want to, let's do charity. We want to do work. Understand? Let us do work first.
If it's charity line, go and join the charity line. If I go to our church, we always, you understand my point? But this other one, no. I want to know whether you will be a blessing to me. If I'm paying you 10 and I expect to make 20. You are getting the point? That's how it is. And listen, this is a spiritual thing. It's inside your spirit first. Most people, listen, oh God, most people, their spirits show that they want to suck out of you. You go to government offices, so that's where it is clearest. Oh man, the other day in my office, in fact, if the man knew how much money he lost, eh? If I don't know how to correct him because I know he can't, he doesn't understand. I told him, look, send one of your men, I want to go and do a particular work, I need assistance. He said, hey, girl, our share. I have no problem with giving him money. This is a man who walks up to me and says, weekend is dry. And I give him money. There are times jobs are open, beyond his salary, I just say, girl, we can do this thing now. How much? We negotiate. They work the but I was going to give the job to somebody else outside. Okay, sign papers. They cast your pocket 20K each rapidly there. And I never asked, what am I doing with your money? There was a day, they confessed to me, a job needed to be done. They came and I said, God, please, we can arrange it. Later on, by the time we finish all the payment, one of them, he confessed that he and his partner collected 200,000 naira each. Me that ran up and down, the one cobra I did not want, I did not get it. They brought it, I wouldn't take. I don't want it. Just my principle. And I said, come and help me do something. They say, hey, God, where is our share? For that statement, if you know the number of doors I closed for him, I just closed the doors. So this guy, you are very ungrateful. This is the opportunity to say, this is my boss. Let me go and help him. He said, hey, God, where is our share? Number one, that one, I closed it. I didn't call them again. Forget it. You're not getting anything. And the next one that opens, me give you, you're too only. I don't know, you know, and people don't realize, and why I'm telling this story is that what he doesn't know, alright, is that for saying, I had to buy my share. He has lost, he doesn't know how much. Because I just got tired. So why do you love money so much? Why is that when you come to me, you think you must collect? Christmas comes, what is wrong with buying your boss a bottle of wine? Why must you always be the one collecting? The Bible says there is he that withhold it or collect it. And only tends towards what? Poverty. In life as a Christian, you must have a generous heart. Everything you do, so what is in it for me? Do things and walk away. I'd be happy to do something. Somebody wants to give you money. Say, no, don't worry about it. I just want to help you. I told you about turning your stones to bread. It's not everything you can do that you use to collect money. You are going on the road. You know, maybe you're not working. You're not a mechanic. You know, but you need money. Quite all right. Somebody's car spoils. You go there. You clearly fix it for him. He said, oh, young man, thank you very much. This one in the pocket. I'll shake your. No, don't worry, sir. That wasn't a job. I was walking past. Just deliberately say, oh, no, don't worry about it. You need the money. Say, don't worry about it. No, sir, I just wanted to help you. You know, I'm a blessed person, and God said I should just be helping people. Listen, in this your life, you'll be so rich, you won't know what to do with money. That's not a prayer, it's a warning. So get ready. That's what I'm going to say. Get ready. It will happen to you in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The time will come when you wake up in the morning. In fact, you know that day you will solve at least at least 1 million naira problem. Just wake up in the morning, okay? Who else? School fees, give them. House rent, give, just give. Job boy, just do it. And then, it's not, he said, thank you, sir. Thank you. Thank me for what? No, just thank God. Don't worry about it. That is the level of wealth you will have in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Let me tell you, one day you are going to feel bad. Listen to what's going to make you feel bad. One day you are going to enter. God will set you up. This is what I call divine setup. Know your life, you have been abusing people. What these people? What are they doing? Flying first class, private jet. You know what I mean? You don't want to abuse people, tire. God said, leave my son, don't worry. Now ignorance. Let me make him feel bad so he can confess, so I can forgive him. Then one day you want to travel. God will just so arrange it that now first class you go fly that day. As you're about to enter, you'll be calculating when I'll be feeling bad. The angels will be pushing you, go and sit down. As you're sitting down, you know, you'll fly from here to the US repenting. You remember the day you abused Bishop Enipo, you'll repent.
All the men of God that you have abused for private jet, you just be repenting there. Say, Lord, I'm very sorry. You see, it was the days of poverty. Even the Bible, Paul said that you knew it was ignorance. It will happen to you in Jesus' name. God will bless you to a point you'll be embarrassed. You know, you're embarrassed. You know, there are people who buy cars to go and show off. You get my point? But your own, you have it though. Or you'll be so embarrassed. Say, let's go to the village. No, call taxi. Let's go now. Your car is good. You don't understand. Just leave it. Leave it. That is, you know what they call embarrassment. You will be embarrassed one day with blessing in the name of Jesus. Amen. One of the ways I want to, that's what I plan to do. You are going to use it also. I say, okay, maybe God does bless you so much. You want to do something that's so frivolous. Ah! You will scratch your head. I'll just carry my wife and my children. I'll just go and eat ice cream in Abu Dhabi. That's not good though. So you now tell your wife, how much is the total? Everybody's okay, 2 millionaire. So write a check for 6 million. Go and give us an offering so that my conscience be clear. Don't laugh. You can laugh the laughter of Isaac. But don't laugh the laughter of mockery. Because one day it will happen.
Amen.
I'm not kidding. God says in my heart. One day it will what? It will happen. When God has led you to a point where you have the giving heart, where to you is not let me sow a seed. May you not be sowing seeds. It's a poverty habit. If you can be counted the one I'm giving, God, how much? Last week, let me check my balance. Lord, last week, total I gave you was 2.5. That's my 100-fold return. Repent and be saved. Amen?
Amen.
May you stop sowing dangerous seeds because it's not helping you. They are really dangerous. They are literally dangerous for your health, dangerous for your prosperity. You are a giver. Amen?
Amen.
Let me say it again. You are a giver. Listen to what the word of God. God will make all grace abound towards you. You will have all sufficiency in everything. And you will abound to every good work.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Say it with your own mouth. Say, God will make all grace abound towards me.
God will make all grace abound towards
me. Say it. I will have all sufficiency in all things.
I will have all sufficiency in all
and
things.
I will super abound to every good work.
And I will super abound to every good work.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
In the name.
Listen, life has different seasons. There's a time where you're a widow and you give your might to God. And then there's a time where your name is Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And from the shelf of your house, you will pour perfume worth a whole, that is 300 days work for an average workman. Sometimes when I hear pastors saying that story, they say, listen, those people took a precious this. Today you will take something precious. I'll keep on saying that. Pastor, understand it well. I agree with you. I'm not disagreeing, no. But when Mary took that thing, was it Mary or Martha? When she took it from the shelf. I don't know whether you connected it. They had it at home. They were not widows dealing with mites. That was not mites. It was something they had at home. I'm persuaded that they are just by rubbing shoulders with the Lord Jesus Christ, just by his coming around and sharing word, they were not sick, you know, they were not blind, you know, they didn't know things like that. He said the poor have the gospel preached to them. That is, the word of Jesus in their life produced prosperity so much. One day, Mary just collected the thing, broke it and poured it. It wasn't, people think it was widow's might. It was not widow's might. That was the kind of perfume they stored at home. The problem that made it striking was that they broke it and used it once. You know, normally it's supposed to be tem. Can you swear? You know, there's one of those when I was young, they used to call opium. Remember opium? And when we were young, I said, one day when I grew up, they want to call it opium. No, the issue that they broke the whole jar and poured it, they super abounded to what? Good works. Say it again. God will make all grace abound towards me.
God will make all grace abound towards me.
I will have all sufficiency in all things.
I will have all sufficiency in all
And I will superabound to every good work. In the name of Jesus Christ. Listen, many of you listening to me, listen to this. One day you will start a company. You don't need the money. You don't need anything. You just want to be. Say, if I start this company in this particular area to employ 1,000 people, you will start it, and that's your own. Is the company doing well? It just means it can pay the 1,000 people. People will look and say, man, this man has money. I wonder how much he's making from here. They don't realize that that one is a community project. People wake up in the morning, go to a company you started. You just employ managers, set up a very good structure and work away. As long as you are making money enough to pay the staff, you are happy. People are counting it's one of your investments, but to you, it's charity work.
Amen.
Yes. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
It will happen to you.
Amen.
I have some prophetic words. How many of you have ever watched TBN? TBN. What's the name of the other one? Daystar. You know, a few weeks in the year, they will stay there. Please, Brother Crouch's family, the man has gone now. I'm not angry with you people. I'm with you. God loves you, loves me, loves us. We are in the same job, in Jesus' name. And the other one too, just that. But one thing I've never agreed with them on, that we run a TV station, I'll be doing that. I'll be preaching, send your seed right now, something. No. I don't believe in it. I don't believe in it. And you, those of you who know me long enough, you know I don't do such things. Say, okay, so where would the money come from? And that's the word. That's the prophetic word. One day, see, the whole of TBN will be sponsored, something like TBN or Dista, will be sponsored 90% by just 12 people, and you will be one of them.
Amen.
That's where I was going. That is, no preacher will ever have to be shouting, send us an offering. Why? You are going to ensure it doesn't happen. I like Bishop Oedipo's will. I like, in fact, there are things I like about that man. This is one of it. He said, God does not need your money. You are the one that needs his blessing. He said, God gave me money before you were saved. You know, when I hear it, I'm excited. He said, God doesn't need your help. You are the one that needs his help. When I hear such words there, I say, Lord, thank you for helping me. And then you will continue to help me. Listen, God has helped you already in Jesus' name.
Amen.
All your giving will be a matter of generosity in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It will happen to you that God will make all grace abound towards you. You will have all sufficiency in all things. You are bound to every good work.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Listen to me. God will give you peace roundabout.
Amen.
Let me say it again. So that his word will be manifested.
Amen.
God will give you peace round about.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
One day, this is going to happen to somebody one day. You will just look, maybe you just look out of a hotel window. Maybe you've gone for an important meeting. And you will look like Godons will say, I say, it's me be this. God is able to do exceedingly far above what you can ask or even think about. It is that thinking about parts that's exciting me this afternoon. One day, you will reach a place you never thought about.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
One day, listen to me, you will reach a place. Listen, your case will be like that of Joseph. Remember, we've established that we are not getters, grab. No, we are what? Givers. God will lift you to a platform from which you can be a greater blessing than you ever imagined to people in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Initially, Joseph was a blessing to the house of to his father's house, make his father happy. They wanted to kick him out of there. He wasn't going far like that. Then, he went into Potiphar's house. It was such a blessing to Potiphar. God said, let us now move him to the next level. Then the way to the next level was downwards. You understand? You had to go down before you climb the step. That's how it was in that particular situation. It was there again. It was blessing people. Please notice this. Everywhere you go in life, go around doing what? Good. In the house of Potiphar, he was good to Potiphar. He got to prison. The Bible made it clear that the chief jailer, the chief warden, did not concern himself with any other thing. He kept everything in the hands of a prisoner. He had deputies. You understand that? He had those who were deputies, who were not prisoners, who were civil servants. He did not give them the work. He gave all the job to Joseph. And then one day, you know, Joseph, the greatest thing he ever dreamt about, you said that he dreamt when he was young. That one he dreamt while he was sleeping. I don't know whether you get my point. The dream of greatness, he did not even understand it. It was his father and his brother that were angry. The little boy said, "Hey, oh, bros, come here something. What happened? As we just go free yesterday, I told him, we just tie our shoes like this. Now in our shoes, just bow down for my own." That was what the boy said. He said, "What do you mean? We are going to bow down for you one day. You want to rule over us? You this stupid boy." It was a dream. Are you taking it serious? Not a dream for another place. Not that kind of thing. Yeah, thank you. Go dream your own. Nah, wait, don't be a dream. The boy didn't understand. He talked about stars bowing down. It was his father that said, "Is it true that me and your mother and your brothers will bow down to you?" The young boy did not understand. And as with analyzing prophecy sometimes, I don't take it serious. You know why? I have found that prophecies are hard to understand until they happen. That it might be fulfilled that which was written. It's after it was fulfilled that I understood what was written. That's how it is. The young body imagine all these things. Just stars bow down. Waiting be stars. It will get you a little star up above the world so high. You know, that's it. What I want. You know, he didn't understand. When he fully understood what's going to make him, he was not dreaming of being elevated. He was dreaming of going back home. How do I know? When he interpreted the dreams for the cupbearer, he said, "When you have been restored to your place, don't forget to. You know, I helped you. I interpreted a dream for you. I gave you hope. When you were here, you know, I used to help you guys a lot. I knew you were a big man. Remember, I'm just a slave. I didn't do anything." He told the whole story. His greatest desire was to go back home. You know, he never went back home. Only his bones went back home. He never went back home. What did God do to him? Or what did God do for him? One day he woke up like a normal day. You know, that's why, you know, when I tell you that in 6 months, we don't know where we'll be. We don't know. Because he went to sleep normally. And he woke up normally. Except that at some time during the day, he heard chariots arriving. Maybe it's a new prisoner that's coming. A big prisoner, we don't know. Then they say, "Who is Joseph?" And they said, "They are looking for you." What did I do now? When I was in the house of Potiphar, this was how a man landed in prison. They said, "The Pharaoh wants to see you. Are you people serious? Go and shave." The boy had beer in prison. "Go and shave." But he dressed like where you are going, if you have the money. When you don't have it, don't worry about it. When the time comes for where you are going, somebody will give you the cloth to wear. They gave the guy clothes to wear and ushered him into the presence of Pharaoh. The next day, he was prime minister. I don't know whether you are getting the point I'm making. Not only that, you know, there's a part of it I like. Young guys, listen. Pharaoh looked at it and said, "I don't like single boys serving me." Potiphar, that your girl, you know, I've always liked that. She's a very good girl. Very industrious. She'll be a good wife for a prime minister. Call her. Introduce her to Joseph. Joseph got a good job, got a good wife. Didn't have time to pray for it. Some of these prayer points are joblessness. Oh, listen to me. Let me summarize. The testimony of Joseph will happen to somebody here in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
You will go to sleep one day. You will wake up the next day. It will take you a week to be able to rearrange where you are.
Amen.
Event will have so happened, you will have been elevated beyond your dreams.
Amen.
Beyond your imagination.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let me say one more time as I close. God will make all grace abound towards you.
Amen.
You will have all sufficiency in all things.
Amen.
And you are bound to every good work.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Remember, when you wake up in the morning, declare this word ahead of your day. If you are broke, declare it. If you have plenty, declare it. If you are sad, declare it. If you are happy, declare it. These words will go forth and create events for you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Please, this is what I'm begging you. Don't be negligent. You know something?
That's your job. Wake up in the morning. The first thing is, bless the day. Issue four divine commandments for the day. Are you getting what I'm saying? Occasionally, one scripture will wake up like this. When it does, hold it for a long time until another one comes to replace it. It's not just declaring nebulously, just to declare, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall know. It's good, though, it's good. But there are times that one will just wake up. God will make all grace abound towards me. I will have all sufficiency in all things, and I will abound to every good work. The first thing in the morning, as you are coming out, you let the world know. Let the angels know. Let the devils be afraid. Are you getting my point? Listen, one day, the Spirit of God will have gone out and gathered. And you will look back and say, who has begotten me all of these children? Are you getting my point? Just wave your hands and just say, Lord, I thank you. Just thank God today. Just thank him. Thank him. Thank him. Thank him. Thank him. In the name of Jesus Christ. All right, let's share the grace in fellowship. Because of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, surely we have passed out of death and we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil because we are seated high above in Christ. This is our season of fruitfulness in the name of Jesus Christ. One more time. This is my season of fruitfulness in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Declare that as you are going and say, God will make all grace abound towards me. I will have all sufficiency in all things. And I will abound to every good work. Say it, I go around doing good. This nation will prosper because of me. There's peace all around me. In the name of Jesus Christ. Cheer up, brethren.